Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Billie Jean King.
This is Marion Bartoli.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carillo.
This is Pam Shriver.
This is Yannick Noah, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast live from Wimbledon on day two of the championships, where for anybody that cannot see us right now, let me paint a picture for you. You find us not even in our wet weather position today. Our wet weather position quickly became, due to torrential conditions, a literal wet weather position. We are in something even more emergency than a wet weather position. Chivalry is not dead. There are three men on the Tennis Podcast team. All of them are in the dry right now. And you find myself, Catherine Whittaker, perched underneath an umbrella.
We appreciate it. Mm.
Yeah. Good times,
we
guys.
Really do.
It's lovely over here.
Good times at Wimbledon. What a day. What a day it has been. It's been the kind of day where if we didn't have two rubes on two show courts, we'd have been watching the 1980 tiebreak between Borg and McEnroe on a loop today.
That's right. I mean, it really brought back memories of my childhood in terms of just not being able to watch tennis. In the first, there was an hour before the show courts with the roofs got underway and where you're actually able to watch no matter what. And then I was on court number 18 where Katie Bolter was playing, and it was an hour and 1 minute she'd played to get to 6-5 down in the first set against Daria Saville. And it reminded me of 1997 being on exactly the same court, having queued for 3 days and not seen a single ball hit. And that was the moment that broke my enthusiasm for queuing and for tennis as a fan.
You were broken.
I was broken, yes. I spent 2 days in the queue non-stop in a tent with my good friend Alex Kennison, who I'd been to university with, and I'd been to two previous years with him, loved every minute of it. And we'd had great weather, great times. And then 1997, we saw 2 days of unbroken rain. Then we got onto court number 18 and we saw a knock-up for Mary Jo Fernandez. And then we saw another knock-up for Cedric Pioline. And that's it in 3 days.
I think the only good thing I have to say about the weather today, is this a good thing? Who knows? You be the judge. Is that it has rained so consistently that there haven't been the false starts. There haven't been any false dawns. There haven't been any knockups. The rain came considerably earlier than everybody expected it to. It was forecast for today, but it wasn't forecast to come at about, what, 12:30, which is when the heavens did open. I think there was one moment when David hastily gave himself indigestion with some pasta because he thought he might be back on court 18 with Katie Bolter. But alas, now I don't think players even ever made it to the court, did they? It's been consistently miserable.
Although what that does mean is that all day I've been stressing about what tomorrow is going to be like, and I have literally just seen the order of play several seconds before coming on air, possibly had a heart attack when I saw that there were about 87 singles matches on the order of play tomorrow. But that's for tomorrow.
That's a later
problem. Let's get through this now.
Yeah.
Why is that stressful? It's exciting.
It's very exciting, but we, as we've discussed, humans are not capable of following more than about two or three tennis matches at any one time. I'm certainly not, and yet I want to be able to follow many more than that. And I'm just braced for an exciting, yes, but stressful day.
There's going to come a point tomorrow where frenzied Matt is going to long for the times of only having Casper Ruud to watch. Those are the days. We'll give a good chunk of time to looking ahead to tomorrow, because it is going to be an absolutely crazy day here at Wimbledon on day three. But luckily, due to roofs, thank you roof gods, we do have some tennis to talk about today. It was 3 p.m. before there was a winner at Wimbledon. That was Carlos Alcaraz over on court number one, defeating a retiring Jeremy Shardy. Relief for Jeremy Shardy, he doesn't have to play another match. This is indeed his last, as he had announced. 6-love, 6-2, 7-5 for Alcaraz. I'm glad Shardy made somewhat of a match of this in the end, because there was a point in this match when Matt and I were on triple bagel alert. That's how, well, it wasn't awkward actually, was it? Because it felt like there were so many people in that crowd on court one today for whom it was their first time seeing Carlos Alcaraz, and quite honestly, they didn't care what was going on down the other end of the court. They were just there for the Alcaraz show, and they got one.
Yes, they really did. He was at his shot making best for most of the match. I mean, Jeremy Shardy with his grey beard and his top that looks like he's bought it in the Muratoglu Pro Shop.
Should
just
there be
did
a,
not look ready to take
should
on.
Should there
Carlos
be a
Alcaraz.
Rule that once you've got a grey beard, it's time to pack it in?
There's nothing wrong with grey hair.
No, but there's something about. I mean, you can't have locker room aura if you've got a grey beard. You look like Gandalf.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, I do kind of know what you mean. Goran Ivanišević started to go grey, but he was already retired. Feliciano Lopez went through that period, didn't he?
And still in it, yep. Anyway, Matt.
At least he's retired now. Mm. But yes, Jeremy joins them.
Yeah, but I mean, 7 double faults in his first 3 service games. I think it was 6-love and a break, certainly. We were, as you said, on triple bagel watch. And then, fair play to Jeremy Shardy. He made a real go of that third set, went up a break at one point, got broken straight back, but generally it was a very comfortable start for Carlos Alcaraz. He was just a little bit gutted that Roger Federer wasn't watching him, because Roger Federer of course was on centre court and Alcaraz was on court one, and we know how much Alcaraz loves Federer, and genuinely I think he was a little bit gutted. I think he would have wanted to put on a show for Federer,
because it would have been a completely different dynamic, Roger Federer watching Carlos Alcaraz, because Roger Federer was, of course, Carlos Alcaraz's hero, whereas I've just come from the Andy Murray press conference and he was watched on by Roger Federer on centre court today. And, of course, Federer was his rival. Mm. And actually, by the sounds of things, Murray didn't find that nearly as strange as a lot of people were expecting him to. There were a lot of questions about it and he kind of wasn't taking the bait. He was sort of like, yeah, it's fine. But yeah, for Carlos Alcaraz, it would have been like Rod Laver watching on or something.
Do you remember when Federer was playing his final match at Laver Cup and he'd got the tears with Nadal and Federer, and Alcaraz was just relentlessly tweeting tearful emojis, and and the sort of the kid in him came out in that moment, I thought, and I think the lad who wanted to be a tennis player who was following Roger Federer all of his life, and obviously Nadal too. I think that would have been actually quite an interesting experiment to see whether it might have. I suspect it would have made him put on a show and be even more spectacular and joyous and exuberant. But it could have gone the other way and maybe unsettled him. We'll never know.
Well, David, during the 11 games of tennis that you got to commentate on today, one of the things you did get to commentate on was the mid-match arrival of the Princess of Wales to Katie Bolter's match on court 18. Which was called off at 6-5 in the first set. Really tricky time for Bolter and Daria Saville to get called off. And I'm sure there were reasons for it. And of course, she can arrive when she likes. But I did think, blooming heck, that's distracting to arrive on a court that intimate wearing lime green. Not that she, you know, she'd have been noticed whatever she was wearing, of course, but it was very distracting and eye-catching. I did think, wow, that's quite a lot for Katie Bolter to deal with.
I think that my guess is that they do that so that it can be done in a controlled way. I think if you were coming in when the match was starting, maybe on a court like that, maybe with everybody else coming in, it might not be so easy. They'd sort of reserved, you could tell at the start of the match, they'd reserved about 8 seats there because it's not just her, you know, she's flanked by the incoming chairman of Wimbledon, Deborah Jevons, and she was also there with Laura Robson on the other side, and then obviously the detail, the various people that need to look out for her.
Plus all the incognito detail. Oh, did you find yourself trying to pick out the plain clothes guys?
I can't say I did.
That's what I do.
My mind doesn't work quite like yours. but what I do think...
Oh, look, there's Andy Murray.
Oh, yeah. He's just wandering out of his press commitments. But what I do think would have happened is Katie Bolter and Daria Saville were probably informed before the match that this is going to happen. And actually, I don't think anyway that it would be nearly as disconcerting for Bolter, because a year ago she was in the Laura Robson role sitting next to the Princess of Wales when Harriet Dart was playing a match. Because, I mean, she's a huge fan of tennis, is the Princess of Wales. And, I mean, she recently featured in that video with Roger Federer.
Back when Katie Bolter and Harriet Dart were friends, would love to know what's happened in the last 12 months. Because I don't think they're going to be watching one another's matches anytime soon.
See also Harriet Dart and several other British tennis players, I think, if handshakes are anything to go by.
So Katie Bolter and Daria Saville's match, one of the many that have to come back and resume tomorrow. We'll leave talking about that till later, Matt. Don't worry. We're staying in unanxious waters for a little while. Let's head over to Centre Court and talk about what we've already alluded to a lot, the great return of Roger Federer. We knew this was happening. We knew that there was, initially, when this arrangement was first talked about, the hope was that it was going to be Roger Federer and Serena Williams. But of course, Serena Williams, pregnant with her second child, not able to be here today. The club released a statement saying that they would be honouring Roger Federer as the most prolific men's champion in the Open era, with 8 titles. It did make me think, right, well, you've probably got 12 days left left to do that.
Well, they probably knew that.
good job you're doing it now. And we didn't know how it would look, did we? I expected him to be announced out onto court to do a quick interview and then to take his place in the royal box. What actually happened was he was given the big announcement, walked out straight into the royal box, did some very emotional moving waving, looked like a big kid, didn't he? He had his little why do I lose all the close matches big kid Federer face on, and his mum was crying buckets behind him. It was all very sweet, but actually then didn't speak. And I wondered if that was an attempt to prevent him overshadowing Elena Rybakina's moment on Centre Court. Obviously, she opened Centre Court today as the defending women's champion. I still think it did overshadow a little bit, just because he's Roger Federer. I don't know how you avoid that, because you want to make a big thing of Roger Federer being here. I wonder if maybe doing it after the first match, before the Murray match, but maybe Murray wouldn't have been happy with that. I don't know, but on one hand, I would have liked to hear from him. On the other hand, I'm sort of glad that Rybakina didn't have even more detraction from her spotlight.
In the end, I was quite concerned about this yesterday and was on tenterhooks, because I thought, this is her moment, and I want it to be about her returning as the champion onto the scene of her triumph. But obviously, Roger Federer absolutely deserves to be celebrated, and everybody deserves a chance to celebrate him. In the end, I kind of felt that it worked out okay, because you could keep it to time doing it this way. I think if you'd got involved in a chat that could have gone on, and things might have been
his
delayed.
Answers are long, aren't they? We do know that from 20 years
and
of
the,
federal
and
press
the evasion in between every answer would have been long, and so because that's kind of, you know, the crowd are so into it, aren't they? You only need to say a couple of words and you're getting a standing ovation. And this way, look, she also had an absolutely packed house to greet her onto the court. So, yeah, I feel better about it than I thought I would.
One thing I would say, because, you know, maybe we have some sway around these parts now. We wanted Venus Williams against Elena Svitolina to be on centre court. It happened. We can't disprove that that wasn't because of us.
There's no evidence to the contrary.
No one's telling us any different. So I'll just say it. I would love it if they honoured the most prolific women's singles champion, Martina Navratilova, in a similar way. Now, I know lots of you will say she's been retired a long time. She has been honoured a lot here. That is absolutely right. She has been. But she did not get to appear last year at the champion ceremony. It should have been her moment at the end to walk out as the most prolific ever singles champion, and she got COVID. She did the honourable thing that lots wouldn't, and she counted herself out, and I know she was devastated about it. So I think it would be a wonderful opportunity to do something special for Martina.
Couldn't agree more.
I've said it, and now if it happens, definitely.
It's all you.
We can clip this up.
Yeah, not sure I'll want to relive this situation.
I'm having a great time.
Any time soon.
How is the arm, Catherine, with the umbrella? You've got a pretty impressive system going on.
I think
on
I've
there.
Got a good system here. For anybody listening rather than watching, I my right hand is doing double duty. It's holding an umbrella and a microphone in order to free up my left hand for drinking.
I was going to say that anaesthetises any pain.
Yes, it
that you
is.
Might be
I've
fearing.
Got a system going on. Let's press on while it's working. And talk about Elena Rybakina's match, her first match as a defending champion here. And we were all expecting this to be a banana skin for two reasons. One, Shelby Rogers is a very good player who has a track record of producing a level against the top players that she perhaps isn't always able to produce week in, week out. And because of the massive question marks over Elena Rybakina's health and physicality just at the moment, subsequent to that virus we know she's been suffering from. I don't know how to describe this match. I feel like I missed the best part of it. I was watching it on the TV, but I managed to get out for the end of the first set, at which point the quality seemed to absolutely drop off a cliff. By all accounts, the first set was pretty good. Shelby Rogers took it, 6-4. Rybakina did look... Well, she told us after the match she was incredibly nervous ahead of her first match as defending champion here. Which leads me to think, actually, not much of this scoreline had much to do with Shelby Rogers, because, honestly, Rogers was really poor in the two sets I saw, really, really poor, and Rybakina started playing pretty well in sets 2 and 3. I don't think she had to play that well. I don't feel like I've learned that much about where Elena Rybakina is at. I want to see her against more testing opposition to really know. It looks on paper like, wow, interesting match. That must have been a really good vibe inside centre court. Defending champion, a set down in the first match. A defending champion in the women's has only ever lost first round once before. When was that, David?
1994.
Who was that, David?
That was Steffi Graf being beaten by Laurie McNeil.
Once before,
right, Matthew?
Ever. It should have... Yeah, for anybody that doesn't subscribe to the newsletter, we are doing the...
I'm so pleased.
The workshopped 90s off between Matthew and David. It's happening. Subscribe to the newsletter if you want to follow that.
David hasn't actually had the question yet today, but I can tease and reveal that Matthew has, and I'm going to put the pressure on David, and Matthew's got it right. And it's a tough question.
We didn't think either of you would get this. Matthew. We're still not saying enough to coax him out from behind the camera, but
he's wearing a Liverpool shirt today, so he has to stay behind the camera.
And you're going
to
ask it me after I've drunk this. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Look, if your knowledge of the 90s isn't strong enough to withstand half a glass of champagne, David,
who
do you think you are?
Two beers law.
What was I saying? Rybakina, 94. Yeah, it should have felt like, wow, something big is brewing on Centre Court, and it didn't feel like that. The atmosphere was quite flat out there, and I think the low quality of the tennis was a big factor in that. It felt very bitty. There was no rhythm. There was nothing to really get your teeth into. There'd be one good rally, and then there'd be a completely mistimed forehand from someone, or a double fault, and it just felt like it sucked the air out of the room somewhat. And I do think the centre court and number one court is kind of less forgiving with the roof on in those sorts of situations. It's a hothouse, isn't it? If the atmosphere is amazing, it kind of seals it in and allows it to marinate and enhances it. But if the atmosphere is bad, it enhances how bad it
is. Slightly awkward.
Yeah, and it's a bit sleepy under the roof, actually. It can be. It's not a particularly pleasant environment to sit in, I don't think, for a very long time. I was watching this match really thinking of what Molly McElwee of The Telegraph had told us about how underpowered Rybakina looked in practice a few days ago. And in that first set, I really noticed that, because Shelby Rogers was able to play her game, and she wasn't rushed by Rybakina in a way that Rybakina can do to so many players. Rybakina did look tight and nervous, as she eventually said after the match. And also, she just looked like someone who had a really bad preparation coming in. She looked rusty. She was just spraying the ball and just mistiming it. And I really thought she was in trouble in this match, to be honest, when she lost that first set. But as you said, Rogers' level really dipped. I hadn't actually realised that Rogers had been in really poor form coming into this tournament. She hasn't won a match since April. She'd lost four in a row. But Rybakina, as it went on, improved, and particularly her serve improved. She ended up with really good numbers on that serve. 12 aces, really dominant behind her first serve. And if she's got that working and she can physically get a bit better as this tournament goes on, then we shouldn't be writing Rybakina off in a way that I think a lot of people did pre-tournament. I certainly sort of did. I was just so worried about how she was feeling. She's got through this slightly tricky first round match. You would hope from here that she can improve.
Reggie's got her in the final, hasn't he?
Of course he has.
I met the man himself today. Highlight of the day, actually.
Matt has met real life Reggie. I thought he might just be a myth that only existed in the ether somehow, but Matt has met the physical man.
Yeah, and what a joy. He was,
what's his record now overall across the two tournaments that we had him do in the newsletter predictions?
He got none out of 14 at the Australian Open, and he got one out of 15 at Roland Garros.
One for 29.
So, yeah, you're more likely to get a women's night session match at Roland Garros than you are Reggie get a prediction correct. And that says a lot.
Okay.
But he was in incredible spirits, because a bit like you were saying, David, he'd had a miserable queuing experience. He queued overnight, got in, and saw a set of George Lofhagen against Holger Rune. And then
TBC whether I need my George Lofhagen knowledge. Deferred until tomorrow, thanks.
Yeah, and then just sat in the rain for the rest of the day. So he was in incredible spirits. We love Reggie.
He will be getting a refund.
He will.
Reggie, if you're watching. Full refunds for Grand Pass holders, number two court and number three court ticket holders today. Obviously, number one and centre court got a full day's play. In fact, they're getting bonus play because right now Dan Evans has been moved to centre court to start his comeback, David. Did you send a voice note?
No, I just sort of sent him certain vibes that seem to have landed.
Right.
Don't they, Matt?
Well, he is 6-5 in the third set.
Like I said.
If that's what you were looking for.
Yeah.
Right, vibes. Should we talk about Andy Murray?
I've been talking to you, not watching that match.
Should we talk about Andy Murray vibes?
Yeah. Let's do that.
Andy Murray completed his second most efficient ever win at Wimbledon today.
Yep.
He lost only four games to Ryan Peniston.
Andy Murray and efficient has not been...
Exactly.
Has not been words that we use together this year. I think that's... That's actually important for him.
It is.
Because it cost him at the Australian Open to keep playing those grueling matches. I think he was in really good form in that tournament. He could have gone even further. But here, he's got it done in straight sets. His opponent in the next round is left waiting and will have to come back tomorrow, either Dominic Thiem or Stefanos Tsitsipas. So things are good for Andy Murray, I would say.
Yeah, and I think it's a bit of a shift from him to really want the efficient matches, because he definitely went through a period there where he was taking such a pride in winning the way that he was winning in Australia, in Dubai, where he kept on coming back from match points down. We know he knew about his coming from match points down record. We know from his on-court interview in Australia that he knew that he was breaking the coming from two sets to love down record. He was taking a real pride and relish in winning that way, and that's the way that's in his DNA, really, isn't it? But he knows that he can't do that for seven matches, or for six matches, or for five matches,
or
even for four matches.
And I think that it was a graduation to this point, because he wasn't winning close matches before. Then he was. Mm. Now he's done that stage. He's done that era. Can I say?
Very good.
David's learning. Check me out. God, tomorrow's a big day, isn't it?
Mm. Mm. Why? Apart from the 87 matches.
Oh, my gosh. This will do nothing for Matt's overwhelm.
Okay. Is there a concert coming out?
Well, no, tomorrow's the day that info gets released, I think. About the pre-sale.
For?
It's an Eras Tour thing,
okay,
David.
Fine. Yeah. So, as I was saying, I think the difference is now, I think Andy Murray sees himself as a contender here. And you do not contend for this title if you are getting embroiled in four-hour epics in the first round that may play well on BBC One, and we may all be punching the air and talking about the greatest hits of Andy Murray and all the memories. But the truth is, he doesn't need them now. He needs them in the semi-finals, etc., when he's maybe facing one of the best players in the world, or when he faces Novak Djokovic. I say when. Obviously, that... That may well not happen, but if he did face him, he'd need to play one of the matches of his entire life, and he's going to need plenty left in the tank. I realise I'm projecting. The chances of him getting that far are probably not that big, but his only chance is if he's efficient when he has to be, and then he's effective when he's playing better players.
It's funny, my question there was going to be, take Novak Djokovic out of it. Imagine he's... in the Maldives. Is Andy Murray a contender for this title? But then as I was composing that question in my mind, I thought, actually, the kryptonite that Andy Murray has in this draw at this Wimbledon is that he's the only guy that's ever beaten Novak Djokovic on grass. That's what he's got that none of the other guys have. I wouldn't pick him to beat Novak Djokovic on grass this year, but is he a contender for the Wimbledon title?
No. Not with Novak Djokovic in the draw.
Okay, with Novak Djokovic in the Maldives.
With him not in the draw, yes.
Matt?
I think so. But Novak Djokovic is in the draw.
The thing is, Novak Djokovic is
on the other side of the draw. So I think an interesting question is Andy Murray sort of in the mix to get to the final?
The Cameron Norrie mix, as we called it, that David designed for Cameron Norrie in Australia this year.
What was I doing there?
I don't know.
Don't remember that at all. I suppose the idea of Andy Murray beating a firing Carlos Alcaraz, I don't know when that match would happen, feels maybe a little far-fetched.
Yeah.
But I also think that Alcaraz is not a sure thing on this surface yet. I actually believe in him on it, but there's just not enough... He hasn't had enough reps to be completely confident that he will produce his very best every time.
And yet, I don't think I can confidently say that about Andy Murray yet, because Ryan Peniston is the kind of opponent that he's been beating handily on the Challenger Tour.
Yeah,
you know? True. And, that is true.
And we saw him play Alex de Minaur at Queens, and I know he was... exhausted, but there was a real quality elevation that Murray wasn't able to live with on that day. If Murray gets a big win in the second or third round and he does it efficiently and doesn't sort of absolutely tire himself out, then I think we're absolutely talking. But now, I guess I would say no to the question that he's even in the mix to reach the final.
So he's in your final mix, he's in your not quite final mix.
Yeah, I feel
I
like
I want heads on blocks here, people.
I maybe didn't think it through enough. Because I think you make a very valid point about the next round. I think if he beats one of those and he's in the third round...
Well, I watched some of Tsitsipas' team. As it stands at the moment, team is a setup on Stefanos Tsitsipas. It's on serve in the latter stages of the second set. Neither of them looks particularly up for it.
The thing is, I went out to that match via Irani versus Brengel, which... was a great time.
Did
and
you
everything
go there voluntarily?
I went for team Tsitsipas, and court 7 is en route to court 2 from the media centre, and I thought, oh, now I'm here, I need to watch a bit of Irani Brengel. And
what was it like?
It was everything I hoped it would be. Aborted ball tosses from Irani, 3 breaks of serve in the first 3 games. just great. And yet amid all of that, some wonderful rallies as well, lots of drop shot lobs. That was a real combination that both of them liked to use. It was just giving. But then I eventually, you know, I was able to tear myself away from that, and I went to team versus Tsitsipas, and I was really struck by how it didn't feel like a match between two former Grand Slam finalists, you know, or Grand Slam champion in Dominic Thiem's case. It felt like a match between where they are now in their careers. And for Dominic Thiem, that's desperately trying to get back to where he was. And for Stefanos Tsitsipas, I'm not sure I have the vocabulary to describe where Stefanos Tsitsipas is right now in his life or career, but he's certainly not what he was a couple of years ago, where we felt like he was a real contender at the biggest tournaments. Certainly on grass, he's never really been that. But it just felt a bit flat, and it just felt like, honestly, it felt like a first round match. Whereas it should have felt like, oh, why is this match happening in the first round? It should be happening in the fourth round or quarterfinals. And neither of them are in good form. And yeah, I probably would back Andy Murray to beat either of them, to be honest.
Seeing as it's a slower news day than one might expect on day 2 of a slam, do you want to share the Tsitsidosa news that you shared with me earlier, Matt, so I don't have to bear it alone? David's on the edge of his seat. Viewers are tuning out in their droves.
Well, I read it. I think it was reported in the Greek press, but it was translated onto Twitter. And apparently their relationship started after Tsitsipas texted Barossa congratulations for beating Ons Jabeur in Rome.
So that was first contact.
Really?
With Rome.
Really was not that long ago. And now
they've gone from a DM to soulmates in the time that, I mean, I've done about 2 loads of washing in that time due to Grand Slam related factors. But I mean, really, in the words of Venus Williams, wishing them luck. Okay, moving on. Ons Jabeur won today. I went to a press conference a little while ago. Matt, I know you watched quite a lot of this match out on court number 1. You dubbed Magdalena Frech tricky before the match, and I accused you of thinking all Polish females are the same, because obviously Magdalenette is tricky, and I think we can call world number 1 Iga Świątek quite tricky. Ons Jabeur didn't find Frech very tricky today, by the looks of things. 4-3 for last year's finalist.
Yeah, it was pretty straightforward, actually, for Jabeur. I just noticed that Frech had won quite a few matches on the grass leading into Wimbledon. And yet, Ons Jabeur dealt with her very easily. And actually, she started her Wimbledon campaign on court 1 last year as well. But I did sort of think, if she hadn't reached the final here last year, this year there might have been more players who might have been scheduled ahead of on Chabert, and actually what a great thing for her that she ended up on court one with the roof, such an advantage, and she just made the most of it. I watched the match in the press seats with Geary Nathan, who is one of our favourite tennis writers, and he said at the end that watching Ons Jabeur is just like getting a brain massage, just incredibly relaxing. And I think that was a really nice turn of phrase, because it was just quite a relaxing time, and it was a match where a lot of her really special shots maybe didn't quite come off. There was a lot of rallies which she set up the sort of spectacular winner and didn't quite end up making it. She did hit one fantastic shot to win the first set, but generally she was extremely comfortable, and yeah, just watching her hit drop shots. And there was a moment where she thought she'd set up match point with an ace. Freck challenged the call, and during that challenge she just started doing keepy uppies with the ball, just sort of how relaxed she was, and then it was out, so she had to win the point again, and she did so with a high backhand volley jumping winner. And it just put me in mind of something she said in her pre-tournament press conference, which was that she wanted to have fun on the grass. Here was her aim. So I sort of asked her about that in the press conference afterwards, and something just really clicked for me, really, that the tennis tour is very, very hard, and it's a grind. And we've talked a lot recently about how tough it is for players on this tour, and yet we never really mention Ons Jabeur in that conversation. And she sort of said, yes, it is really, really hard, the tour, and if I think about it, I'm going to get very stressed on this tour, so I have to go out on the court and just express myself and have fun and play with joy. And she knows no real other way. And I think what's been brilliant about Ons Jabeur in the last few years is how she's been able to sort of combine that with really winning tennis as well and reach a couple of Grand Slam finals. And yeah, you know, early days for Ons Jabeur, obviously, but a pretty promising start, I would say, that suggests that she's in some pretty good form, and that we shouldn't forget about her. You know, all the talk about big three, I do sometimes forget a little bit about Ons Jabeur, but her CV.
Imagine how Barbora Krejcikova feels.
We know how she feels.
She's just put herself in it, so you know, it's fine.
Yeah, but yeah, no, it's always a good time watching Ons Jabeur.
Yeah, and I got the impression in press that she was really pleased with how she played today. I thought she was still delightful, sunny minister of happiness Ons Jabeur, but there was a steal as well. She thought, okay, I am in the sort of form I was in last year, this is on for me, let's go. That was the impression I got from her. Let's talk about Sabalenka for a moment, and then actually I want to go back to Andy Murray, because I missed a very salient point. I'm just teasing that to keep people with us in case they were very put off by the Tsitsipas chat.
Or distracted by Dan Evans taking the third set.
He had. Well, who needs a David Law voice note?
Well, I mean, you know, like I say, I feel like I may have had an impact.
You put something out into the ether. Yes. And he felt it.
You know, we were maybe somebody was watching the live show last night who just... You know...
Hey, Dan. No, he's on court. What am I doing?
No, but...
He's right. Watching it back.
Right, Arina Sabalenka, 6-3, 6-1 for her over Panna Radwani, 63 minutes. I think we expected this to be fairly straightforward. She walked past us earlier looking incredibly relaxed. She said in her post-match interview on court, she was really emotional. And she said she didn't realise until she stepped out there today how much she'd missed this place. Yeah. And I, totally setting aside how you feel about the Russian and Belarusian ban last year, and we covered it in great detail, we all had our feelings, but all of those feelings came with a lot of nuance. None of us felt black or white about it. All of us came down sort of 51-49 on one side. But regardless of how you feel about the rightness or otherwise of that ban, those players aren't banned this year, and as such I think they're here on the same standing as anybody else, and I'm glad that they're not being sort of slighted in court assignments, or, you know, sort of subtly slighted in some way. I think if you're going to let them play properly and let it be equal. And I was pleased to see Aryna Sabalenka on centre court today.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think I can understand how she feels. Even as much as it's a different subject, but coming back here after the pandemic, after it not happening for a year, I was surprised at how emotional I felt about returning. This is a different situation, but yeah, I get that. And I'm glad she was letting us in on it, really, and not hiding that emotion. She looked good today, and she looks ready to rock, ready to go for a run at this tournament. And she's been like that all year long. She's not let herself down many times. She obviously had that one terrible moment in the French Open when she's about to win, about to beat Carolina Muchová. And it'll be very interesting, I think, as this tournament progresses for her, whether that's left any scar tissue damage emotionally and mentally for her. We won't know until she comes up against somebody who's a real threat, I guess.
Yeah, I agree, and especially in those latter stages. I didn't get to watch a huge amount of this, but it seemed from what Hannah was tweeting that there was some real stress for Sabalenka in that first set, perhaps, you know, related to what you've just described there, the emotion of being back at Wimbledon, back on centre court. But it did seem like she loosened up towards the end. I did see the closing stages, and there was a moment where she, I think she was actually at match point, and she hit a fantastic tweener, but lost the point. And still celebrated because she was so pleased that she'd made this brilliant
that is
tweener.
So relatable.
Yeah, right.
It's like that's what I do. I hit a winner. I hit what I feel should be a winner. I stand and admire it.
Absolutely.
While the opponent chases it down and hits it past me. And I still feel like I should get a point for that because I did hit a lovely shot.
And you don't even mind that you didn't win a point.
No.
Because you hit that inside out. Feet off the ground, backhand.
Mind a little bit, yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, I think by the closing stages, she was a bit looser, a bit freer, and I really think... Well, I've predicted her to win the tournament here, so...
I have too, and I feel good about it after today. Yeah, one down, Aryna, 6 to go. I still don't know if I've got any points in the daily predictions, because none of the matches that I've predicted have been completed yet.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This edition of the Tennis Podcast is sponsored by Tennis Channel, and Tennis Channel Plus is the place to watch the French Open. They've got every court live, and you can watch on your phone or on your smart TV in HD.
Sounds great. There's genuinely nothing I like more than watching multiple courts with matches everywhere.
And can I just sit and watch court Susan Longlin all day?
You sure can, David. Wherever the stories are, the rivalries emerge and the generations clash, you can watch it all with daily live coverage beginning on Monday, May the 20th. Be there when it happens by subscribing to Tennis Channel Plus to stream daily coverage of Roland Garros. Use promo code TennisPod20 for 20% off your annual subscription. Back to Andy Murray quickly. Before we look ahead to the franticness of tomorrow, something that Matt said to me while we were watching Andy Murray earlier is, I think Andy Murray's service motion is different. Now, if anybody else said that to me, I'd go, don't be ridiculous. Andy Murray has been on tour for 20 years. He's been... I could pick that service motion out of a lineup of millions. But it was Matt Roberts saying it to me. And I thought, okay, I believe you, to the extent that when Matt was unable to attend Andy Murray's press conference earlier, I felt like I needed to put the question that he would have put. And my heart was pounding in my chest because it meant that I had to put my neck on the line rather than Matt.
I was definitely, I was sitting a few seats along and I was definitely thinking, blimey, Catherine, that's a good spot if it's true.
Yeah, I feel like I shouldn't be disclosing this now because I'm just revealing that it is absolutely not my spot at all. But anyway, I said, Andy, my eyes might be deceiving. I decided not to explain to him that it actually wasn't my observation. It was Matt Roberts. Do you know Matt Roberts? He's my co-host on the Tennis Podcast. Oh, yeah, yeah, you do know Matt. Yeah, yeah. He does do great stats. Decided not to do all that. So I just said, Andy, correct me if my eyes have been deceiving me, my best acting. And I said, is there something a little bit different about your service motion? And you were in the room, David. Did I clock a little sort of, oh, you spotted that, did you?
A little bit, yeah. Oh. A little bit. I mean, he also, there was a bit of a hesitation as well, because I think he, you know, he probably liked to keep that to himself, ideally. And then he admitted that, well, it's not an admission, is it? But he confirmed that, yes, there is a change to it. And then you pressed him on what it is and why.
Did a follow-up just for you, Matt.
Please tell me.
I've got to tell you, Matt.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
It was really great, I thought.
I was going to say, I feel like this is great. This is great double teamwork.
It is.
Yeah, so I said, with much trepidation, is there something different about your serve? And when he started saying, oh, yeah, there is, I thought, oh. And I was emboldened to ask the follow-up. He said that it came about by accident at the start of the grass court season. He said, I just started playing around and it
just
seemed to
work.
Out,
wasn't he?
Right. It was Nottingham that I noticed it.
Oh, wow.
Crikey, Matt. Mm. This might be your best ever work. And I'm just basking in its reflected glow.
I'm in the 90s. Matt's in the present.
Yeah, and I said exactly what you said to me earlier, is there a little bit less arch on your back? And he said, yeah, there might be, but that's not the point of it. Yeah, he just said, oh, well, it's work. He said there's less kind of swing on it, less of a pronounced take back. It's very difficult for me to demo, David, with an umbrella and a microphone in my hand. Could you help me out a little bit here? Because he did a little demo for us, didn't
he? I think you're getting it across. It was less of a swing back and then forwards. But I just found it really interesting that a player of his experience and his success is tinkering like that, because that kind of feels, as a layperson, quite risky to me. Mm. You don't want strokes that are not well honed to risk breaking down. You want to be able to rely on your go-to, where it's a service spot that you're aiming for or a pattern of play. But I guess he is comfortable with what it's doing. I mean, I am also interested to know, and he wasn't saying that the arching of the back was anything to do, or the lack of it was anything to do with taking pressure off a body part. But maybe it is. Mm. You know, I completely understand if he's keeping that to himself. But sometimes players do that. Remember, Nadal changed his service motion to
Djokovic
take
did as
pressure
well.
Off. Yeah, absolutely.
Sharapova.
Yeah, and actually, when you talk about Edberg. Djokovic, look at what Djokovic has done to his serve. Mm. It's unrecognisable throughout various stages of his career. So maybe it's not as uncommon as I think, but I do think it's a fantastic spot that you've made there. And good on you for asking the question. I'm so proud.
Watching so much tennis pays off at last, and having Catherine to put it to him, perfection.
Excellent.
So I've giveth to Matt Roberts. Now I taketh away. We've arrived at the portion of the show where we need to talk about tomorrow, Matt. So just
okay, I'm braced.
Just brace yourself. Mm. I haven't exactly added up how many full or partial singles matches there are on the order of play tomorrow, but spoiler alert, folks, it's a lot. the show courts are, as normal, three scheduled matches. I rather suspect that if either if the main courts finish early, they will try and shove other matches on there, because of course they can play later with the lights. They can play until 11 p.m. the curfew on centre and number one court. But as it's scheduled at the moment, we start at 1:30 on centre court with Daria Kazatkina against Jody Burridge, British winner in round one. Wow. Yesterday, incredible reward for her to get centre court billing. Good on her. Iga Świątek against Sara Cerebes Tormo is second on centre, and she can play on grass, and we know this because of the Angelique Kerber match that she played a couple of years ago that David listened to.
Yeah.
Matt and I watched it on the telly. And
whilst nodding off in the seat outside, I was doing the next match on, and I think I joined it at about 5 all in the third set or something, and I was still there an hour later.
We were texting him going, oh, that was a good point. And you said, yeah, it sounded good.
This is amazing. And I'm like, I can't get in because all the seats are full.
It was so good, that match.
Feels like something's got to give with that match, because Iga Świątek plays very quick matches and Sara Cerebes Tormo plays marathons only.
Mm.
I guess I would lean on the side of
I think
quick.
I know what might give, yeah. But we'll see. We'll see. David gets his dream come true, third on centre court tomorrow. Jordan Thompson against Novak Djokovic. Wanted it, David? It's happening.
Genuinely looking forward to that, just because I think this is a good stage of the tournament for a proper serve and volleyer, swashbuckling tennis player to face Novak Djokovic. I think it's the only chance of dare I say an upset? No, I don't dare say that. But it's the only chance that he could become unsettled is if it happens now. And I hope for Jordan Thompson's sake that he is not feeling physically too hindered by the 5-set match he had in the first round. He played Brandon
Nakashima.
Came back from
2 down, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he always strikes me as a really robust athlete himself. So I just think he's going to go for it. 99 times out of 100, I don't see it having much effect on Novak Djokovic, because Djokovic is that good. But I think he's got more chance than a hell of a lot of other players of similar ranking.
He is carrying a tiny bit less weight, Jordan Thompson. He has shaved his moustache.
Has he?
It looks wrong.
The handlebars.
Yes, it looks all wrong.
So actually, the chap in the Australian dugout...
Yeah.
At Lords the other day that we thought was Jordan Thompson. Couldn't have been Jordan Thompson because that man had the moustache. Okay.
I actually think Djokovic will probably be zoned in, because he'll be aware of the threat of somebody coming at him, and he'll have to be really...
It'll focus him.
Yeah, focused, honest. And he is the best returner in the
so
game.
So you've talked yourself into that being brilliant and then out of it.
I still think
it'll
be a good watch, I'm telling you. I think it'll be good.
Okay. First on number one court is Daniil Medvedev against Arthur Ferry. That match, I think, was supposed to be last on number two court today. Heather Watson against Barbora Krejcikova has been bumped up to court to number one court. That was supposed to be on number two court today. And Jannik Sinner against Diego Schwartzman. That is a second round match because, of course, Sinner won yesterday. That is last on number one court tomorrow. Number two court looks thus. Brace yourself, Matt. Zachary against Kostyuk. Then Fritz against Hanfman. Fifth set to finish. Then Thiem against Tsitsipas to finish. Then Zverev against Brewer to start. That's the first round. And then Podoroska against Azarenka. Court three, Tiafoe against Wu Yi Bing, Runa against George Lofhagen to finish, Sonny Cartel against Madison Keys, Petra Kvitova, Jasmine Paolini rescheduled for tomorrow, Rublev against Karatsev. That's proper video game tennis, isn't it? Rublev Karatsev, yeah. And there is no rain forecast for tomorrow. I should add.
A few days of good weather.
Beatriz Haddad Meyer, Yulia Putintseva, first up on court 12. David Shapovalov against Albot to finish. Sonego Berrettini to finish. Mukova Niemeyer is fourth on court 12. Can't wait for that. Choinsky Hurkacz. I mean, I could read through this whole thing. Darius Saville against Katie Bolter. That is second on court 18. To finish tomorrow, Musetti Munar. Tomorrow is going to be a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. Epic.
I tell you
but a lot.
If I could just take a moment of selfishness right now.
Sure.
Tomorrow's a day that I'm on the radio. And there is nothing we love more on the radio than a day like this, because you put 10 reporters on 10 different courts and you just go wherever the stories are. And as I hope it sounds good. I hope it sounds as good as it feels to watch and to talk about it and to zip around the courts. It's a joy to work on days like that.
Mm.
So stick your earbuds in.
I will be listening, David.
He'll be listening with that
slightly
very
vacant expression.
Yeah. Yeah. I will be hydrating Matt tomorrow. Mm. That will be my job.
Can I tell you something that's amused me this evening?
Yes.
Because Dan Evans is not the only match that's going on. There's also Thomas Martin Echeverry versus Bernabe Zapata Miralles, which is going on court one. And what I find amusing about this is that we got hundreds of emails today from the referee's office about matches being cancelled and all sorts of notifications. And one of them was a doubles withdrawal. And it was Albot Ramos Vinolas and Bernabe Zapata Miralles have withdrawn due to Bernabe Zapata Miralles suffering from fatigue. And then the next email that I got was Thomas Martin Echeverry versus Bernabe Zapata Miralles is moving to court one. And I thought, well, which one is it? Is he ready to play a singles match or is he withdrawing from the doubles from fatigue?
It does highlight the farce of you can't just withdraw and say, look, it's rained all day.
Yeah.
It's too much hassle. Yeah. All right, I can't do both.
Life is a lot. I'm trying to manage my time.
Mm.
That should be, you know, enough.
And the other reason I brought it up is that they've been replaced in the doubles draw by what I can only describe as a troll team of Corentin Moutet and Constant Lestienne.
Oh, when they play. Cancel everything.
That is...
I'm going to be watching
David
that.
David will genuinely be there for that. That is a lot of fun. They will lose in the first round, but it will be very fun. We have our Wimbledon mascot, Erin.
Yeah.
Erin's a cat, so I imagine doesn't much like this weather. Same, Erin, very much the same. But the forecast reassures me that things are looking up from tomorrow. So fingers crossed. We have our mascots. Absolutely no idea how things are going, Xenia, because because rain.
Not exactly.
Maisie, for you, David.
Yeah, Artifice, I went for. He went home about 8 hours ago.
And Matt's got Darwin.
Yep. We didn't play today.
Billie Jean, who presumably, hopefully, is watching. She loved the live show last night.
Oh,
did Billie Jean K9, this is.
Billie Jean King thought it was pretty good.
She's sponsored by Billie Jean King and Alana Kloss. We have our top folks and executive producers, Jamie, Hannah and Drew. Hello to you. And Matt, we have shout-outs.
We do. We have a very special shout-out section today. I want to first of all say happy birthday to Pam Shriver.
Happy birthday, Pam.
Happy birthday, Pam.
4th of July. This weather was not becoming of a Pam Shriver birthday.
We apologise on behalf of the UK,
we
Pam.
Do.
And at least Donna Vickich gave her a cake. That
yes,
was a nice
that
touch.
Was lovely.
Yes.
Well done, Donna.
Well done, Donna. Good-looking cake
that
as well.
That was great. And... yeah, I'd like to hand over to you, Catherine, for the
shout-out. No, you have to do it because I'll cry.
Oh, okay. Well, the reason that we've had champagne in our glasses today is because Catherine has become an aunt for the first time today. So our shout-out is for Nina. Nina Neve Whittaker, born just before 4 o'clock today. During an Andy Murray match, during an Ons Jabeur match, it was all perfect. So if I still had something in my glass,
I do.
Would very much raise it to Nina. And what a special day.
Yeah, congratulations
to the family.
Yeah.
Wish we weren't live from Wimbledon now. Yeah, sorry, Hannah and Yula Niemeyer, but we're retiring Yula Niemeyer, future Wimbledon champion, and we're going Nina Whittaker, future Wimbledon champion.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt. It's been a very special day, despite all of this. We'll be back tomorrow when it will be a very special day in in a different kind of way. Thank you for watching. Do subscribe to the newsletter if you'd like to know how the 90s off between David and Matthew is going. I'm on the edge of my seat because I cannot believe that Matthew got... Today was kind of a litmus test to see how hard we could go. We thought today might be too hard.
I've still got to answer it, and I've just had this. And I'm about to go and watch Dan Evans.
We are. In fact, let's get this show off the road because I think we should all go and watch Dan Evans. Subscribe to the newsletter. Follow us on social media, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. If you're listening to us on the podcast, check out the live show on YouTube if you'd like to. You get to see me dripping under an umbrella for an hour while the men sit in the dry. What else? Like and subscribe if you are watching us on YouTube. Smash that like button in the words of David's kids. What else have we got? Leave us an Apple Podcast review.
Tell your friends.
Become a friend of the Tennis Podcast if you would like to support us. All the important links are in our show notes. Matt's making a face. What have you got, Matt?
I have just had an email from the referee's office saying, withdrawal correction, Albert Ramos Vinolas is suffering from fatigue.
Do you think the referee's office are watching the show?
What influence we have!
Yes! We've finally got influence!
On that note, folks, thanks for listening and we'll see you and talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.